From the WGXC newsroom, this is the Weekend in Review. Some of the stories that made the news from Friday, June the 30th through Sunday, July the 2nd. I'm Philip Grant. The Associated Press is reporting that state police and local law enforcement are increasing patrols over the 4th of July holiday weekend in a crackdown on drunken driving and other traffic infractions. Sobriety, speeding, and seatbelt checkpoints will be set up at various locations through Tuesday. Troopers will also be looking for drivers using cell phones or failing to move over for stopped emergency vehicles. State police issued nearly 11,000 vehicle and traffic tickets during the Independence Day weekend last year. More than 200 people were arrested and charged with DWI, and 756 crashes resulted in 3 deaths. Kimberly Condy reported in the Washington Post that a medical malpractice bill limiting attorney fees and some patient damages for poor medical treatment was passed by the House last week on a vote of 218-210. While 19 Republicans voted against the bill, U.S. Representative John Faso voted with the majority. Some conservative press outlets touted the so-called Protecting Access to Care Act as phase 3 of the GOP's effort to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act. H.R. 1215 would limit medical malpractice damages for emotional suffering to $250,000 and implement a 3-year statute of limitations on an individual's right to sue. The Republicans who voted against the tort reform measure called it a massive expansion of federal authority. The Columbia paper reported that Columbia Pathways to Recovery, in cooperation with Project SafePoint, will provide free Narcan training Wednesday, July the 5th in Copaig. The training is in response to the large number of overdoses in Columbia County during the past week. Anyone interested can sign up on the Columbia Pathways to Recovery Facebook page or simply show up the night of the training. No advance registration is necessary. Carl Quinn, president of Columbia Pathways to Recovery, said in a statement, and I quote, "We've learned there may be as many as 15 overdoses, and there were 2 that were fatalities. This training is open to all residents who want to know how to administer Narcan to potentially reverse an opioid overdose, and everyone that participates will receive a Narcan kit they can take home with them," end quote. The training will begin at 7 p.m. on Wednesday, July the 5th at Copaig Town Hall, 230 Mountain View Road. Matthew Hamilton reported at Capital Confidential that Governor Andrew M. Cuomo said on Friday, June the 30th, the state of New York will not comply with Presidential Advisory Commission on Election Integrity's voter data request. The commission claims to be investigating voter fraud in all 50 states. Cuomo said in a statement, and I quote, "The electoral process is sacred, and New York law has strong safeguards in place to prevent sharing of sensitive voter data and harassment against those who exercise their right to vote," end quote. Prior to issuing the statement, Cuomo tweeted that the state would not comply and linked to an NPR story that included a copy of a letter sent by the commission to the Alabama Secretary of State seeking first and last names, middle names, or annotations, addresses, dates of birth, political party affiliations, last 4 digits of Social Security numbers, and voter history of all voters from 2006 onward. The commission was formed by President Donald Trump through executive order in May after he alleged for months there was widespread voter fraud in the 2016 presidential election. Experts say that while voter fraud is generally uncommon, the few instances are usually connected to local elections. Daniel Zuckerman reported for Columbia Green Media that Athens residents unhappy about a tree-cutting job, which included the recent removal of an oak tree on South Franklin Street, brought their complaints to the village board on Wednesday, June the 28th. Mayor Peter Alberti said the action was taken after a village resident filed a complaint saying the tree's falling limbs were causing damage to their property. If more damage were to occur, the village would be held liable, Alberti said. Alberti's opponent in the March mayoral race, Catherine Sensor, took issue with the decision, saying she was concerned because the tree in question was planted by a descendant of General George Sylvester Nichols in the 1870s. The historic district of Athens, where the tree once stood, includes not only homes but the sidewalks and trees, she said. Alberti said, and I quote, "It's very hard to replace a 200-year-old tree. I understand that. The gentleman who took it down works for the county, and he's an arborist," end quote. The board voted unanimously to form a tree committee to be led by Village Trustee Gail Lasher. The MidHudsonNews.com reported Dutchess County Executive Marcus Molinaro was presented with a first-ever Franklin and Eleanor Roosevelt Hudson Valley Vision Award on Saturday, July the 1st. The award was given by the trustees of the Franklin D. Roosevelt Presidential Library and Museum in Hyde Park and honors those working to improve the future of the Hudson Valley for all residents through engagement and inclusion. Molinaro said, and I quote, "I am honored to receive this recognition for Dutchess County's efforts to think differently and change the hearts and minds of our residents and our neighbors of all abilities," end quote. Richard Moody reported in the Columbia Green Media that the Columbia County Cause and Origin team is investigating a fire that destroyed a shed at 28 Rose Street in Niverville on Thursday, June the 29th. Niverville Fire Chief Tim Stever said, and I quote, "We had the fire out in about 10 minutes, end quote. He said the fire melted the sidings of the garage next to the shed, but it did not harm anyone. Stever said that because the property owners were not home at the time of the fire, Columbia County Cause and Origin was called to investigate. Amelia Teasdale reported in the Columbia paper that the Chatham Town Planning Board and Zoning Board of Appeals held a joint public hearing last week on the application submitted by Flying Deer Nature Center to move its camp program from New Lebanon to a 164-acre property on Daly Road, one of the town's 57 unpaved dirt roads. The town currently has in place a moratorium on new construction on dirt roads, but in April, the town board granted Flying Deer a hardship waiver. The public hearing brought out Daly Road's neighbors and Flying Deer program participants. Nearly all comments received were in support of Flying Deer and its programs, but neighbors had concerns about traffic and safety. The board will meet separately to decide on the fate of the project application. The Chatham Planning Board will next meet at 7 p.m. on Tuesday, July the 11th. The ZBA's next meeting is at 7 p.m. Thursday, July the 27th. Both meetings will be held at Town Hall, 488 Route 295 in Chatham. Finally, Amanda Purcell reported for Columbia Green Media that the Congregation of Endless Love Temple, led by the Reverend Edward Cross, is hoping to take over the Masonic Lodge located at 241 Columbia Street in Hudson. The building, also known as Mount Carmel Lodge, was officially foreclosed on by the city in April for non-payment of back property taxes. Cross and his congregation have rented the space for the past 8 years. It is not clear if the church will seek tax-exempt status for the property. Cross said he is still working on an agreement with the Common Council. The building is currently assessed at $135,000, and the total back taxes owed is more than $34,000. Representatives of the local chapter of the Masonic Lodge could not be reached for comment. And now for the weather. The National Weather Service in Albany is predicting a mostly sunny day for today with a temperature high near 84 degrees. There is a chance of thunderstorms south of the Capital District on Monday afternoon. For Monday night, it will be mostly clear with a low around 58. The forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high near 79 degrees. Tuesday night, mostly clear with a low around 47. And on Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 81 degrees. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 61. Sunrise today was at 5:22 a.m., and the sun will set at 8:36 p.m. That will give us 15 hours and 13 minutes of daylight, about 1 minute less than yesterday. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio Weekend in Review for today, Monday, the third day of July 2017. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day, and a happy and safe 4th of July.